You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Belonged to our relative, Elimelech.
One of my favorite passages. There's so much to preach out of this.
One of my favorite things.
You shall know that the Lord is God.
The angel said to her,
but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian.
My two favorite stories in all of the Bible are the golden calf and the story of the spies.
And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Greatest hit.
One of my favorite stories.
The greatest hit.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
All I've got to say about that trio, Brent, is if that doesn't light your fire, your wood is wet. That was excellent. That was, wasn't it? Well, my name is Randy Coy. Some of you may or may not know me. I am a retired clergy person from 2019. My last 12 years of active ministry were spent at the Children's Home, where I served as the president and CEO. And I have enjoyed my 38 years of active ministry. I'm also recommending the retired life. It's a pretty good gig. It's just, this group over here knows all about it. One of the things that I like most about retired life is, now I'm married to Denise, we've already been celebrating our 50th. It's coming in December. But you know, at our age, you never can tell if you'll make it. So we've been working on it along this year. We've already done a cruise to Hawaii and had a wonderful time there. One of the things about you need to know about Denise is that she cooks like Paula Deen and gardens like Martha Stewart. And so one of the things that Denise is really enjoying about the retired life is that since we are now homeowners, where we had lived in parsonages for all of our lives, and we don't have to have a meeting of the trustees to dig a hole in the ground, you know? And so I was stumbling around in the backyard the other day, and here's what I came upon. She does pretty good, doesn't she? Now, she's a lovely woman, and I'd do just about anything in the world for her. But truth be told, the main ingredients in those flowers are this: dirt, water, sunshine. And she's talented and delightful and kind, and she can ballroom dance. But somebody bigger than her and me put together makes all of that happen. And I wouldn't necessarily have thought that some of those daylilies, some of those colors wouldn't normally go together. I wouldn't wear a shirt and tie in some of those colors, you know? But they look pretty good the way they are there. Because this God that we serve has created this world with order and unity and beauty. And I know that there were other ways that he could pollinate the earth, but he threw all that glory in with it just because he could. Now, I know some of you are thinking about going on a vacation this summer, but let me remind you before you make your plans complete. This morning, as we sit here, and it's unnoticeable by us, but we are traveling 69,000 miles an hour in an elliptical rotation around the sun. Revolution, I'm sorry, around the sun. And we don't even know it. And if you measure the Earth's speed around the equator, we are also turning at 1,000 miles an hour, making it look like a wonderful Viennese waltz, by the way. all without our permission or real knowledge. And yet it's so regular, we build calendars with it. Seasons come and go. We are able, for the most part, the weatherman is able to tell us what's going to happen. And it's because the King of Kings, the King of Glory, makes it all happen at his disposal. I was just in Florida about 2 weeks ago. So I was walking on the beach. I came behind a lifeguard stand. He's got this chalkboard up there, and he says that the high tide is going to be at 4:07 p.m. Low tide is going to be at whatever time it was. And my question is, how's he so sure? But sure enough, 4:07, here comes that water. And it's because our God is ultimately faithful, and he is marvelous, and he is good. And Psalm 24 says to us that he wants to come to us, and he wants to invite us to come to him. And so with that thought in mind, I want to turn your attention to the text this morning, and I want to invite you to read it responsibly with me. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. For he hath founded it upon the seas. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. This is a generation of them that seek him. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is the King of Glory?
The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory? Well, the God who creates all that is wants us to draw near to him. And I'm really glad that you were voting on those favorite hymns and you didn't have to make me choose Closer Walk because I was going to, but you did it instead. And it's a good tune. And it's really the reason that we gather ourselves here today. Psalm 24 is a psalm of ascent. That meant that the ancient Hebrew people would gather themselves from the four compass points of the city, and then together they would go up to the Temple Mount together. And this psalm was likely used as a call and response, just like we've just done, reminding themselves of how great our God is, and reminding themselves that inviting him into our lives means that we are going to have to respond, that there are some requirements that he expects from us. And having a closer walk with God means that we'll have to inspect our hearts, and that we'll have to find whatever is creating room that keeps him away from us so that we can rearrange that room and perhaps usher it out of our lives in order to make more space for him. Well, how are we going to do that? What does it mean to have clean hands and a pure heart? I know about Randy. As a matter of fact, I know more about him than I really want to know. And a pastoral counselor used to say to me, Randy, you know that butt-kicking machine that you got runs 24 hours a day. he used a different word than but. And I try, you know, Denise will tell you, after nearly 50 years of marriage, she knows me pretty well. And I try to turn it off, but I'm more critical about me than any of you can ever dare to be. And if you say bad stuff about me, I'll agree with you wholeheartedly. But the fact of the matter is, I want to be more. And Psalm 24 invites us to think about ways in which we can be more, because what the psalmist starts out with is clean hands and pure heart. And in order for us to be in a place where we can invite the King of Glory to come into our lives, we're going to have to think about our inner self. The word is conscious. That we are going to be conscious and have a conscience in our lives. Because in Wesley's world, it didn't just matter about what we did outwardly. Our inner being was just as important. Because at the end of the day, you know, we can hide pretty well. Even a spouse who's been married to us for 50 years might not know what we're thinking all the time. Now, it's dangerous at our house. Because sometimes I'll go halfway through a sentence and she'll finish it before I'm done. And it was the right, you know, ending on the thing. But truth of the matter is that we need that inner voice in our lives that continues to examine who we are before God. We need that conscience. I serve some wonderful churches. And I'm so grateful that the people that I served tolerated me as a young preacher because they really knew more about Jesus than I did. They'd been walking with him longer, and it made him smarter. It made him kinder. It made him holier. And in my first parish, I met a lady who was faithful to the church as much as she could be. She was not a young woman. She was in her 80s or probably maybe 90s. And so she stayed a whole lot in her home, and she wasn't at church every week. But she got sick and was in the hospital, and so I was calling on her there. And she was very, very sick, and I thought that perhaps she might die. And I think she thought so too. Because I went to visit her one day in the hospital. We'll call her Miss Guinevere. That's not her name, but we're going to talk about things that are confessional in nature, and I have a responsibility to honor that. Miss Guinevere said to me in a moment when she was a little better, "Brother Randy, what do you think about me watching the stories every day?" I said, "Miss Guinevere, I'm not sure I understand the question." She said, "You know the stories." I said, "Are you talking about soap operas?" And she said, "Yes." Now, I knew I was headed into some murky territory here. And so I said to her what every good preacher and counselor does. It's a total cop-out. "What do you think?" And she said, "There isn't anything that they won't do on there." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I know that's right." And I had the good sense to stop talking. Now, I tell you that story just to say this. I think Miss Guinevere had already come to the place in her mind where she thought she was going to reside. That maybe not. The stories maybe were not as good an influence on her life as she wanted them to be. And that there was something speaking to her that said, maybe I ought not take all this in. Now, please hear me quickly. I don't care if you watch The Young and the Restless. I really don't. And we're not talking about whether you're going to heaven or not regarding the young and the restless. Because that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about really is holiness. And whether or not the God that we love and serve and want to invite into our lives has enough room. And whatever it is that could be set aside in order to make enough room for the King of Glory to come in is food for thought. Because we have about us that whole historical background of caring about character of thought and mind as well as deed. And so if we want to facilitate a closer walk with God and invite the King of Glory into our lives, then conscience is going to be necessary. And not only conscience, but community is going to be necessary. We started the hymn by saying that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means that every creature, including those who are here and those who are beyond here and those who never want to come here, are in his hand. That they all belong to him. And we so desperately need community right now. Now, did you all hear Dr. Strange last week? He stood up there and had the nerve to tell us that he's almost 80. All I got to say about that, after hearing that sermon, is we could not tell he was 80. He stood up there, had this thing under total memory. He was awesome. One of the things that he said was this: there's meanness in the world right now. And he went on to say that sometimes it makes its way into the church. I was listening. Now, he stopped there, but I'm going to go one farther and say, not only is it shouldn't be, it's sin. Let's just call it for what it is and say it needs to be brought to the foot of the cross. Because we cannot be mean to people and then claim that we want to be people of holiness. But one of the great things about Wesley's, perhaps one of his better ideas, was the class meeting. Because they came together in community, and they would start the day by asking that question, how is it with your soul? And they would speak the word of truth to each other. If there was dissonance between what they said and how they were actually living. Now, I want to say to you, that's a wonderful place to be, that you can cultivate a group of people who would dare to tell you the truth about yourself. My son called me not too long ago. It was on Father's Day, and said, hey, Dad, meet us at this little restaurant. We want to take you out for Father's Day. And so we went to breakfast with them that morning in this little restaurant. I walked in there, and there's Coach Don Lane. You know, he coached basketball at Transylvania University for years and years and years. He's 81 years old now. And so I went over and just spoke to him, Coach, how you doing? And what he said to me was, Randy, you're looking kind of buff. I said, well, Coach, you know, I've lost 30 pounds. I have been going to the gym four times a week. And I said, I've always loved lifting weights, but I hate cardio. He said to me, you know, Randy, I used to feel the same way. When I was playing basketball, I would tell people I hated to run until I couldn't anymore. And so my advice to you is get a better attitude about cardio. Now, when Coach Lane was telling me that I was looking kind of buff, I was feeling pretty good about that. Not so much when he told me to get a better attitude. And he'll never know unless he watches this on YouTube later on. But he was the voice of God for me that day. Because tomorrow I'm going to the gym and I'm going to spend 25 minutes on that treadmill. Yippee. That's what we can do for one another, though. My grandmother, God rest her soul, she was such a teacher for me. I would spend the night with her as a young kid. She had this big wicker basket in her bedroom. It was full of those quilt pieces. And I remember as a young child looking at them and thinking, this is the strangest mess I've ever seen in my life. There are prints of cloth in here that you would certainly never make a shirt out of. And they're cut in these awful sizes, shapes, and what is this? But my grandmother would take all those interesting patterns and those crazy looking pieces, and she would call that piecing the quilt. And when you saw the quilt piece together, you're going, oh, now it makes sense. I say to you, friends, we need that. You are not made to be alone. You are made for each other. And we need each other so that we can do like Coach Lane and speak a word of truth, so that we can all be more, so that we can make room in our hearts and our lives for the King of Glory who wants to come in. Paul writes in the New Testament to the church at Corinth, and in that third chapter, you are the temple of God. Your bodies are the place where he wants to reside. We need conscience, we need community, and finally we need consistency. Verse 4b from the Psalm says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? The one who had not lifted up himself to vanity or sworn falsely. That verse seems to measure itself quite equally to two of the commandments. The second commandment, which says, don't have any idols, don't worship any idols. And commandment 9 that says, don't swear falsely against your neighbor. I take that to mean, don't make promises to your neighbor that you have no intention of keeping. And don't say things about your neighbor that you know that you cannot possibly know if it's true. Now, I know how we are, and I'm like my brother Brian. You know, I do okay until I bump into people. His seems to be on New Circle Road. I came across this prayer the other day. I was thinking about it because I was on Nicholasville Road at 4 o'clock. Dear Lord, so far today I'm all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, complained, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. I have charged nothing on my credit card. But I'll be getting out of bed in a minute. And I think I'm really going to need your help then. Yeah, we do okay until somebody comes. We got one nerve left. And then somebody comes along and steps on it. But the fact of the matter is, we say we want to walk with God and we want Him to walk with us. That's not a part-time job. That's got to happen all the time. We're going to go out of here and be witness representatives of Him in this world. I was very frustrated the other day, and I was going to go tell this vendor that I was working with how unhappy I was with their performance. Denise kissed me before I went out the door and said to me after the kiss, "Remember who you are." Okay. I have a friend who's a medical doctor. And he's a serious fella. Now, that doesn't mean he can't laugh, but when he's talking about treatment and he's looking at you, he's going to tell the truth. I would go in his office and they would say, "Step on the scale," and I'd say, "You know I'm fat. I know I'm fat." If that's what we're going to talk about, I could have done this with a phone call. And he'd quote 1 Corinthians 6 to me that says, "Glorify the Lord with your body." I hate it when doctors quote scripture to me. But I'd step on the scale. That kind of serious fella, a lovely man, he attends a church where they would gather in the summertime in the evenings. It was the only time they would have Sunday night services. But for a few months, they would have Sunday night services. They'd come together at this recreational facility that they had. It was on about 10 or 11 acres. There was a pond where you could fish and swim. There were tennis courts out there. It was a beautiful place, and it was a fun time. And people who knew this about my doctor friend and his seriousness decided it would be fun to give him this thing that he would put over his head, slip it on, and it looked like an arrow was running through his head. Now, it's only really funny because he's such, you know, hardline all the time. And so, but he went with the punch. You know, it's good for giggles, and so he's big enough to see that. And so he's wearing it around there. A little boy is running later on and falls down on the concrete and rolls his shoulder underneath of him. And when he sits up, his clavicle is broken. It's not coming through the skin, but it looks awful. The child's mother immediately runs over to him. She is totally distraught, and my doctor friend runs over and responds the same way, immediately back in mode, saying to her, "I know this looks awful, but I promise you this is a fairly common break. It's going to heal fine. He's not going to know in a year. He's not going to know anything about it, probably not remember it. It's not going to change anything about his mobility and the way he gets around." He keeps talking to her, and she's still got this look of terror on her face. All the while, he's not remembering that he has an arrow running through his head. You see, you can't live in two worlds. We're either going to be representatives of Christ and we're going to stop and look in the mirror periodically and ask ourselves who we are. Because we've got to have consistency all along. If we're going to walk with God, we've got to do it in a consistent way. It's not a part-time job. So friends, I'll ask you this morning, do you want to be closer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You want the King of Glory to come in to your heart and life and make you more? And if you do, then I invite you to pay attention to that voice that's speaking inside you, because it's bringing conscious to you. Begin to cultivate people around you that you trust enough to be able to tell you the hard truth. And do it every day. Now, we're going to sing again. And we're going to pray. And we're going to do our best to prepare our hearts to welcome in the God who holds this entire universe together. That's an amazing thing, that He wants to know us and wants us to know Him. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You this day for the beauty of the flowers, the consistency of that ocean tide, the revolution that the planets are taking, and a host of other things that we're not even thinking about that You order and provide out of Your grace and goodness. Now make us more, because we want to be closer to You. All of this we pray in the holy name of Christ. Amen.